Welcome everyone to another edition of Grief Chat, and as we do once a month, we chatted up with our friend Donna Mathewitz. Donna, of course, is an expert on grief. Fortunately, she's able to help people speak from the heart on this very, very complicated topic. Donna, how have you been?
I've been just fine. Well, can't complain. It's mostly all good.
We're going to talk about something interesting today, and we're actually going to break it up into two different shows because you said it is a pretty complex topic.
Yes, I have quite a bit to share. I'm going to talk about the common and natural reactions to grief. And as you know, anyone who's been listening for a while, I want to include two groups of people. First of all, the grievers themselves, because I want to help to normalize what they're experiencing. And secondly, it's those who have the opportunity to walk alongside the person in grief to help them to understand something that is very difficult to understand if you've not walked the path yourself. But I do my best to shed the light in the right place so they'll go, oh, that explains why Susie, you know, fill in the blanks. It's in four sections, the emotional reactions, the physical, the psychological, and then the social part of this. And when I talk about the social reactions, which are normal and common, first of all, from our point of view as a person who is grieving, but then also from others, those people on the outside looking in on our life from a social aspect. So I think we'll start with the, I'm going to start with the physical reactions to grief and loss, Mo. So I'm just going to kind of go down the list and, you know, I might have a couple of my own stories to bring into it as I remember things that I still can remember 31 years later that I experienced. Changes in appetite are very common. Now, it can go, so much of this can kind of be in ditches. It could be an increase in appetite where food becomes your new best friend. You know, sometimes we can be emotional overeaters or emotional eaters, and that can certainly happen in grief. Or on the other side is the decrease where your stomach is in such knots that you can't even bear the thought of eating something, even though your head says you probably should, that you just don't have an appetite, or you have an upset tummy so much of the time that it seems counterintuitive to want to add to it. There is difficulty in falling asleep, and there can be difficulty in staying asleep. For me, I remember difficulty in wanting to go to sleep, but it was mostly because I wanted to avoid waking up to what happened to me for what seemed like weeks after Tim's death, more like a nightmare. I describe it as waking up from the inside out. And we all do this. You start to wake up, you know, your eyes aren't open. You're not start thinking, what day is it? And, you know, is it time to get up? And for me, that stage of sleep was accompanied by the thought that I had the worst nightmare of my life until I was fully awake and realized again today, it wasn't a nightmare. It really happened, and he's still not here. And so it made me not want to go to sleep because of that awful way of waking up. Another physical reaction, headaches and stomach aches and pains that, you'd think there's something like really physically wrong, but it really, there are many physical reactions that grief manifests itself in that way in our bodies. Again, I remember at one point, when Tim died, we lived out on 61, so traffic, noise and trucks. And I remember standing there, maybe it was, again, within the first few weeks or month of his death, and I realized how everybody was just, the traffic was continuing just like it always did. And in my head, I'm thinking, what is going on? Where are they going? Don't they know what's happened? How can they be so busy when I don't even feel some days I can manage to get dressed and brush my teeth? And the thought of leaving my house is awful. And I remember standing there looking out the window having these thoughts. And at the same time, I had this really like severe pain in my chest. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, maybe I'm having a heart attack. Well, fortunately, it wasn't. It was a different type of heart attack. It was just a broken heart, which we hear about that happening too. Sometimes in a couple where one is left behind and they have really penned it, died of a broken heart. Yet the mate just can't do it. And they actually pass away and they have labeled it, you know, broken heart syndrome. So I thought about those things and I did have these physical manifestations more than once. Part of it, you're exhausted and you're so the stress level, and there's so many things that contribute to that. Another one would be the fatigue, just plain lack of energy. I mean, I've heard so many people say, I don't understand it, you know. I slept for 10 hours. I didn't get up till 11 this morning, and by 1 o'clock, I feel like I need to go back to bed. And that's something, of course, to watch. I mean, that could also be part of how depression might find its way in. You know, a symptom of depression is wanting to just sleep so I don't have to think about it. So it's something to be watched and kind of gauged just how serious it is. But I tell people when they say, why am I so tired? I said, because you are right now, you are doing the hardest work you will ever do. And kind of the same reasons, because as I talked about, we have the physical and the emotional and the psychological and the social and the spiritual ramifications of loss and grief. And so there's no wonder you are exhausted. Body, your mind, your soul is working so hard to survive that you are just plain tired.
Can you expand on that just a little bit more? What is your body doing? It's trying so hard to do what? Live?
Well, yeah, just to live. I really do think that's kind of a broad answer, but it really is. It's just trying to survive. There's so many things going on in your head, and I'll touch on some of those as I get into the psychological reasons too. But yeah, I mean, I think it's just maybe compare it in some way to how much work, you know, I think of someone who has major surgery and how surprised we are, how tired we get, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the physical part of the body just doing, putting all its energy into that area that was cut open and stitched up. And I think it's only this is multiply that in all areas of your life. And yet, you know, even with certain physical things that we can put our finger on, like I just had open heart surgery or I just had surgery for cancer, well, it does. That certainly is a psychological issue as well as a physical. So just your body having to work so terribly hard that you're just exhausted. You're just exhausted. Does that kind of explain it a little bit? I think there's probably more particulars than that, but that's kind of how I think of it.
It's perfect. Thank you.
With that, you can see increased sickness, and that's because your immune system has pretty much tanked. Again, because so much is being put onto your body, your mind, and all, that the immune system crashes. And we really are literally much more susceptible, of course, to more common things, the colds and the flus and viruses and whatever, because of that. But even for a time in the early parts of our grief, more susceptible to very serious things, life-threatening things, heart problems and cancers and all that, the big things that really can take us out, you know, and imagine what that adds to your life. You're grieving and now you've got a disease to take care of besides. So it's really, it's such an important piece that people do as best they can. And it's going to take some extra effort, but you need to still eat somewhat. I mean, if even half the time you're eating healthy, you know, and you're doing your best to push yourself out the door and take that walk in the morning or in the evening or go to the gym and get on that treadmill or anything, you know. On the other hand, there's people who will find the extreme to that, and they just exercise 4 hours a day instead, because that's how they are burning up the stress in their life that maybe that was their go-to before this happened as well. But it's like everything in moderation, and moderation looks differently when you are grieving a traumatic loss, of course. And then one other thing is the physical exercise. You might think about avoiding your grief altogether, because it seems, in comparison to facing it head on and having those breakdowns sometimes where you just need to let it out, you just decide, I'm just not going to do that. It's too painful. So I'm going to sleep, and then I'm going to get up, and I'm going to start a full day again, and I'm going to get some overtime at work, and maybe I'll take on that second job on the weekends, and, you know, which, of course, then you could just plain avoid it. But that's also your body finding a way to cope, but it's really not coping because it's avoidance. So instead, you find a way to deal with your grief. You set aside time to just cry, you know. I think that is one of our releases, is to just cry till you can't cry anymore. Punch a pillow or go someplace where, you know, I think the shower is a great place. Some people don't like to cry in front of other people. I remember the thought I had and other people I have talked to, the fear that if I start to cry, I don't know if I'll ever stop. And it is amazing, you know, it's amazing how many tears our bodies can produce. It's like, how can I cure? And in saying that, if you are a crier, make sure you're drinking plenty of water, because you are losing a lot of fluid out of your system through tears. So you make sure you're drinking plenty of water so you don't end up with, you know, dehydration, because it's a real thing. Mm-hmm. And that can cause sickness as well. So it's a big job, you know, dealing with the physical ramifications. It's a big job, you know, and that's why sometimes having an accountability partner, someone that you will receive encouragement from, and maybe a little bit of nudging beyond encouragement to say, I'm coming over, we're going for a walk. We don't have to talk if you don't want to. Let's just go for a walk. But if you want to talk, I'll just listen. That's an important piece of that, because sometimes it's hard to do it alone, but having someone else, and if we're talking about a mom and a dad who've lost a child, well, can they be that for each other? Some days, yes. Some days, you might both be having one of those days where neither one feels like getting out of bed. So that can be a little tougher sometimes to rely on each other to help, because sometimes we do our best, the best we can, just to survive taking care of me, and I don't have the energy to take care of you today.
That's a big part of this. So that physical part, we don't always think of, do we? How it can manifest itself in other ways.
Yeah, yeah. We in our Western world, I think we've become very astute at covering it up anyway. You know, we can do our hair as women do our hair and put on our makeup and put on a pretty shirt that matches us. And then people look at us and go, she looks great. Like, mm-hmm. Well, if only looks was all there was to base it on, right? Mm. Because we become very good at how we wear our masks out in among people.
Mm-hmm.
And then, and that's okay. Sometimes we have to do that too, because I remember looking for things I could control, and that what I just said is the things I could control. If I wanted to, I could look like I was doing fine in public, even though inside I was still feeling rotten and scared and, you know, in a lot of pain. But other people may not be able to tell that by looking at me.
And I'm sure a lot of people also would think that that's a compliment to give you, that you look good.
Of course, you know, yeah, and I hear people doing that. You look great. Hey, you look great. Or you see, you know, you're really so strong. I really admire you.
Please don't.
Boy,
yeah.
If you really knew the truth, you wouldn't mm-hmm. be calling me strong. And really, people in grief who are still really in the midst of the pain, they really don't see it as a compliment. In fact, it kind of frustrates us. You know, almost makes us angry that they are assuming that we're so strong. And I always say, if you could follow them home and sit in the corner of their room in the dark of the night, you probably would realize that that's really not what they are, nor should they be at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let me wrap up this one. We've got a few minutes in this segment. The psychological reactions, difficulty concentrating and making decisions. So if you're the griever or you're the friend of the griever, realize that no, they're probably not losing their mind. No, they probably don't have dementia. They simply are grieving, and their concentration and ability to make decisions is greatly, you know, diminished. Preoccupation with the loss or how the death occurred. I think this is especially true for those who have suffered the terrible loss through suicide, you know, or an accident where they witnessed something. It's really hard to turn that off. But the one suggestions I have is that to make a plan ahead of time. If this is almost like it's on a loop, here comes that thought again and again and again, sometimes multiple times a day or in the night when you're trying to sleep. But to think of how you can replace that thought as soon as you know that thought is beginning to creep in again, that you replace it with a good memory. And, you know, it's going to take some time and some discipline with your mind to be able to do that, but to really interrupt that awful thing that is so not helping and so not productive in your healing. Replace it with a good memory with this person, something that you see you and that person laughing, and this was one of our best times together, and, you know, and maybe with a child, it's a memory from a childhood, you know, from when they were little, and there was something that always made you smile or laugh to think about it, and you can kind of interrupt that loop that wants to keep reappearing in your thoughts. You can be certainly distracted again, goes back to you're not concentrating, and so you get distracted, which in turn makes us more accident prone because we're simply not paying attention. Our mind isn't on what we're doing, even if it means I'm walking down the stairs with a basket of clothes, and I forgot that there were still two more steps when I plummeted down two steps and broke my wrist, mm-hmm. you know, or hit my head, or, you know. So just to, again, what do you do with that? We try to don't, you know, if multitasking wasn't a great idea before, it's a terrible idea now. You know, I know some of us take pride in multitasking, and I've read things about, like, you know, that's really not an attribute, really. We should just, be where we are, plant, you know, bloom where you're planted, and do what you're supposed to be doing right now in this moment, and stop trying to do four other things at the same time. In general, I think we women can be, you know, rock stars in that, right? You know, we can do a lot of things at one time, you know. And some men I know, that's just not their thing, you know. They open a drawer and take care of that, and they shut it before they open the next one. And we can have five drawers open at one time and think we're doing it well.
Yes.
But as I said, in grief, that is not the time to hone the skill of multitasking, because it probably will end up causing something that you don't want. There'll be confusion. There can be decreased memory and short-term memory loss. So I guess in closing with the psychological, become a list maker. Keep yourself on task with post-it notes and lists on your phone, on paper, slap them on your mirror, put them on the door before you go to the garage, you get in the car, put them on your steering wheel. Because if you don't keep track of what needs to be done, then you're going to just cause yourself more stress, because now you forgot that the car is now 3,000 miles over on an oil change, or I forgot to make the payment for the health insurance, or, you know, the list goes on and on, which causes us more problems because now we've got to fix that.
Great advice, Donna. And again, these are common and natural reactions to grief. And I think it's important for people to know that and to not think, gosh, there's something wrong with me, or if you're watching somebody grieve, there's something wrong with them. They're in grief.
Right. That pretty much sums it up. That sums it up.
Well, yeah. We appreciate that. And this, again, is part one. We look forward to part two. This is Grief Chat and with your host, Donna Mathewitz, on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.